Welcome to the End Zone. You know, you're home for our Kevin and I's football sage wisdom, I guess we could call it. Where we, yeah, okay, I'm getting a little full of myself, but
that's a good one. That's good.
but Kevin, before we get into anything, the first and most important question is, do we just want to permanently make them the London Raiders now?
Winning one game in London isn't gonna do anything, especially when more Bears fans showed up than Raider fans. So no.
I have to ask this because this is the first time for two in a row since, what did they say on the broadcast, 2016 for the Raiders?
They've played there three times, and I think it's three times. Well, I saw them in 2014 in London against the Dolphins, and they lost that game. And I remember Dennis Allen was fired after that, which I was happy about that. But
no, I'm sorry. Let me clarify. First time since the 2016 season, the Raiders have won two games.
Oh, yeah, on the road. I think, right? Or no.
I think they just said two games in a row, period.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, first time.
So, but no, I watched some of that game bouncing around during the red zone, end zone channels, all that good stuff. And I will say this, your Raiders tried to do everything they could to give that game to Chicago in the second half, but Josh Jacobs,
are we talking about
guys
that game
out,
or are we going to do the intro first and then get into it? I want to do the intro first. I want to give this game some proper love. I don't want to just do it in the front and then like forget about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't think you'd ever forget about it. This was special. Yeah. Anyway, with that, before we get any further, then let's tell you where you can find the Fandom Podcast Network, The End Zone, and all the great shows on it. Of course, it starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com, or you can also use the Podbean app on your mobile device. Just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also search for the Fandom Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also visit our Facebook page where we keep you updated on all the news that's going around in fandom. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can find myself, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW, or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you and your winning Raiders on
You can find me on
social media.
Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
And, of course, for the first time ever, we have End Zone shirts at the T Public store. So go to tpublic.com, search for the Fandom Podcast Network, or type in the End Zone, and you will find the great new End Zone t-shirt for this year. It looks sharp. You get it on a black t-shirt. It looks really good. Also, too, we love to get your feedback, especially on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We love those 5-star reviews, of course, but we love the feedback in general. We always like to know how we're doing and what we can do to improve as we try to give you some podcasts to feed your ears. So, Kevin, let's dive right into some Week 5 results. And for the first time in a while, it was good news for your team, not so good news for my team.
This is true.
So your Raiders won in a very big game, I know, for Raider fans. So I want to give you your chance to really talk about the London Raiders.
Well, I don't want to call them the London Raiders, dude.
Well, this season in this game, it was special. It was a special day for the London Raiders.
And it was also special for my friends over there in the Silver and Black UK fan club, putting on a great, several events there, hosting for the Raider fans over there, which was awesome. Keith Smith and Les and Ollie and all those guys out there did a wonderful job. And if you ever go out there to see a game, make sure you check those guys out. Okay, so going into this game, obviously the Raiders were not favored. Chase Daniels was starting for the Bears, but the Bears' defense, of course, was what most people are talking about here. Because of one Khalil Mack, and Khalil Mack went on the Dion show. What is it that he calls? You know, if you bald, you're balling, you're coming on my show. And he does a little like FaceTime video, usually with someone right that did really well last week after the game in the locker room. And it was Mack, because Mack did really well for that last game they played. And of course, they brought up the whole Mac looking very forward, looking forward to going to London, playing against his former team, the Raiders, that traded him away for several picks. A couple of first round picks, of course. I was not expecting the Raiders to win this game. Regarding your comment about the Raiders trying to do everything to give that thing to the Bears, I don't really think that that's exactly accurate, because the Raiders have always had a trouble, have always had trouble of keeping the lead. When they went up 17-0, I knew that the Bears were going to come back, and Bears are one of those scrappy teams that usually do it. And also, for those of us that now are saying, oh, well, they were going up against a backup quarterback for the Bears, you yourself, Kyle, and many other people in the sports media said, oh, this may be actually a upgrade for the Bears, that Chase is the quarterback. He's been around for a while. So I don't want that to diminish this this win here that the Raiders did. And also, the Raiders were riddled with injuries, and they got a lot of young people on there. We were out without Tyrell Williams, our number one receiver. He wasn't there as well. And we had people both on the defensive and offensive line that were not in this game and hurting. But that defense for the Raiders showed up big time and made the plays when needed. But most importantly, Josh Jacobs, who was one of the first pick that we got from the Bears because of the Mac trade, 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Plus, Raiders defense, 4 sacks on the game and pressure. Mac, an entire defense for the Bears, no sacks against the Raiders. And timely interception at the end there.
I was
nail biting, man. I'll tell you, I was nail biting. They were getting ready to drive and maybe go for the field goal and get in field goal range to tie it up. We had some unlikely heroes come up. Max Crosby, just this young kid that we got, the guy in the preseason on Hard Knocks that broke his hand, went in and got it taped up and went back into the preseason game to play. Mad Max Crosby showing up as well. This game was important for so many reasons, Kyle. Not just because it put the Raiders above 500 for once at 3-2, but it was a statement game regarding the Bears and Mac. And maybe we'll know later on of whether or not this whole deal, if it favors the Bears or if it favors the Raiders eventually. But it definitely shut people up. And I think, personally, that trade was worth it. We got Josh Jacobs out there, who is now the front runner for the Rookie of the Year. And the dude was a beast, man. He just got some crucial first downs as well. And now we do not have to hear about the stupid sports media blowing all this sunshine up the Bears' butt and Mac's butt about how awesome that he was. And he got his revenge against the Raiders. Apparently, he took it pretty hard. He decided to not talk to the media afterwards. And Richie Incognito was quoted saying that we were physical with him and the Bears didn't like it. Boo-hoo. This is important because it really helps the morale of this team. Like I said, I'm not expecting playoff berth here for this team. I'm not expecting to go deep in there. Just expecting them to be competitive. That's exactly what they are. I've got what I wanted out of this. And I think the loss to your team, as well and stuff, those are kind of things that were kind of character building. I think, dude, we're on this long road trip right now, and we've already won the first two games on this long road trip, including the one in London. I mean, this was just huge for the Raiders. It was such a statement game. This is one of those games that we're going to look back and going, you know, when the Bears came around the corner and Mac to play against the Raiders after that trade, the better team did it. And it was the Raiders.
Yeah. So a couple of things here, and I saw where the media was taking some interesting pot shots during the pregames before this game, especially on Fox.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you caught these in the pregame or not, but there was a couple of interesting things I saw. One was a Jay Glazer report where he talked about when the Raiders first attempted to trade Khalil Mack, that apparently the Bears weren't, there was 4 teams at the end of the day, and it was the Bears, the 49ers, the Jets, and one other team. I might have been, I think maybe the Ravens, I believe. And they
Packers were interested.
No, it was the Packers. You were correct. Packers, it's the Packers.
Yeah.
And they talked about, and Jay Gruden went through, oh, well, if the Raiders would have made this trade with the Jets, they would have had a pick here. And it's like the third pick overall and all this stuff. And I was like, what's the point of this? This trade happened a year ago. What was the point of that? Kurt Menefee, though, who is a guy I really like, and is usually pretty classy. I don't know if you caught what he said.
I did not. What did he say?
He said, the Raiders who traded Khalil Mack and then used all that money to pay Antonio Brown and Vontaze Burfict. Yeah, there's a smart move. And I was like...
Didn't pay any to Antonio Brown.
Well, eventually, yeah. But I mean, at the time, you know. Yeah. But I'm just saying, I was kind of shocked to see that come from Kurt Menefee, because usually that's not the kind of comments he
Everyone was down on the Raiders before that came. They were totally, it didn't matter who was thrown for the Bears, you know? And now that the Raiders have won, they like to say, oh, well, they were playing their backup. Like, but everyone was saying Chase Daniels was all that in a bag of chips and was still going to, you know, outplay the Raiders and stuff. And, dude, our defense really showed up, but also that offensive line, Colton Miller, Richie Incognito, doing what they needed to do, being physical with that front of the Bears defense, including Mac, keeping him in check. It was a beautiful thing. And, of course, more people are talking about, how the Bears lost, not how the Raiders won. You know, to come up.
No, because I think the Raiders, at least for this season, have found their formula, and that is run the ball down people's throats.
Yeah, to set up the pass, basically.
They don't have the weapons in their passing game right now. They just don't. Especially with Tyrell Williams being banged up.
Maybe not for the long ball right now, but, Darren Waller, they started throwing to the other guys, you know? we started seeing... He threw to like 9 or 10 different receivers in that game.
Yeah, oh, I know. He was doing a lot of short dumps and everything like that. But whatever works.
The dink and dunk worked this time. I mean, yeah. That's the way you won. It really worked, and that's the type of stuff that you have to game plan for.
I'll be the first to say this, and this isn't taken away from your Raiders because they went out there and they did what they needed to do. But I even felt this last year. I'm not sold on that Chicago offense. I didn't like Trubisky. When I say Chase Daniels is an upgrade, because I think he's a better pocket passer, but he played like the Raiders got to him and he played like crap.
Josh Jacobs broke a Marcus Allen record, and a very humble kid. It was really nice to see him, avoid Hard Knocks and just want to be there to play the game. There was just so much to celebrate if you're a Raiders fan, and time will tell. They have a much needed bye week right now with all the injuries that they have. Then I think they go to, I'm forgetting where they go. I think it's Green Bay or something. I can't remember, but yeah, their road trip still continues, Anyway,
well, speaking of wishing the bye week was here, I wish it was here for Kansas City, because they had a tough go of it Sunday night, and I watched that game, and injuries are never an excuse in the NFL. I'm sorry, unless your quarterback goes down with injury, and the Chiefs were a mass unit by the end of that game. You were already missing Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins goes out in that game. I mean, they're running out. One of their main receivers is like Chris Pringle or something like that.
Pringle with over 100 yards and a touchdown was your biggest receiver.
I know, but I mean, Travis Kelce looked off. He had a few drops. But what was concerning for me was, and you know what? I will say this after watching this game. I have no doubt in my mind the Indianapolis Colts have the best offensive line in the NFL right now.
They do. They learned a little something on defense, too. The Raiders were able to scrap a win against them. They went into Arrowhead and stopped your offense to what, how many points was it? 10?
13.
13?
For 13.
That's huge. Well, what did you, I mean, I was watching part of that game too, but what was it that were they able to shake up some players? I mean, what was it that they were able to do that they couldn't do to the Raiders or learned? I don't know. Are they game planning for your team very well? Is that what it is?
Well, one, they controlled the clock. They controlled the ball for 37 minutes of that football game.
That's huge.
They just ran it down the Chiefs' throat. And by the end of the game, the Chiefs were down to guys playing out of position, linebackers playing on the defensive line because they lost so many defensive linemen in that game. Chris Jones went out with their star defensive tackle with a groin injury. He's week to week. They lost another defensive tackle who might be done for the season with an ankle injury. Frank Clark was in and out of that game with multiple injuries all throughout. Starting linebacker Anthony Hitchens left that game in the first quarter. Cornerback Breshad Breeland twisted his ankle severely, but they had to leave him in the game. On the offensive side, we lost our starting guard. We were already short offensive tackle, left tackle Eric Fisher. And the offensive line has not been the same since Eric Fisher had core surgery. Patrick Mahomes re-aggravated his ankle injury from week one, not once, but twice. He did it once late in the first half, and then once again in about the middle of the third quarter, his own offensive lineman, Cam Irving, stepped on his ankle, and he was limping severely for the rest of the game after that. The Chiefs need to get healthy. But there was another problem with this game. This is what I call the classic, and it's something that has always happened even when he was in Philadelphia. This is the Andy Reid pass-happy game. And he always is good for one or two of these a season, where Andy Reid just starts calling pass play, and forgets about the running game. The Kansas City Chiefs had over 30 passing attempts by the end of half, the first half. There was no balance to their offense at all. With the offensive line as banged up as it was, Patrick Mahomes was assaulted and sacked more times than he had been in the last 10 regular season games. This was just a group effort failure on the Kansas City Chiefs part. It was some very bad coaching decisions. They had a fourth and one.
Are you
going
to give any credit to the team that beat
you? I was going to get to that part too. I'm just going off as a Kansas City fan. I'm going telling you what I observed was that Andy Reid went pass happy coach, and when he does that, it's never good for Kansas City. Injuries.
You had Damian Williams come back, right?
Yeah, and they just forgot about him. He was getting 4 yards a carry when he was getting the ball. But then they had a fourth and one where they were driving to possibly take a game-leading touchdown and put all the pressure on the Colts. And they hurry up to the line, and Andy Reid calls a run play right into the middle of the line, which is the play everybody was expecting. It was a horrible play call game. But also, like I said, I'm going to give credit to the Indianapolis Colts because on both sides of the ball, they manhandled the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And I, Kevin, and you know this, I have been talking high on Jacoby Brissett since Andrew Luck retired.
Yeah, you have.
Mm-hmm. So, and T.Y. Hilton is something special. When he's not in the game, they're a different team. But you know what? I look at this as a good thing. I think it's a wake-up call for Kansas City. I think things were coming a little bit too easy at times. Reinforcements are on their way. Looks like Tyreek Hill will play against Houston this week. That will be a big help to the offense because he changes. As much as I like all those other receivers, Tyreek Hill changes how a defense plays you. And I think that's going to help Patrick Mahomes immensely.
Well, let me ask you, with all the injuries that you spoke of, you don't get a bye your Chiefs till week 12. You got Houston, then you got at Denver, at home against Green Bay, at home against Minnesota, at Tennessee, at LA Chargers before your bye.
Well, I'm gonna say this right now, and this might shock some people. Considering how the AFC is shaping up at this point, I would almost rather see Kansas City rest Patrick Mahomes for a week and let Matt Moore play and let him get this ankle right than risking him being injured all season long. I'm to that point because I think looking at Kansas City's schedule, I said it before the start of the season, they're going to finish somewhere probably between 10-6 and 12-4. And I still think that's realistic. Maybe the Denver game, you sit Matt Moore. Or you sit Mahomes and play Matt Moore. But we'll go from there. It was a tough week, but let's see what happens. But let's run down this.
Just real quick, after the bye the Raiders have, they're at Green Bay and then at Houston.
Yeah, so a couple of tough games. Houston's getting their act together. So let's just run down the scores real quick. Absolutely crazy Thursday night game with the Seahawks beating the Rams by 1 point. Tyler Lockett had an amazing catch in this game. I don't know if you saw that in the highlights, Kevin.
Yeah, Seahawks 9-1 in Thursday primetime game since 2010. Let's remember that stat.
I think Christian McCaffrey might be the leading MVP man right now. That guy is
Dude is a Superman, man.
Oh, 237 God. Yards from scrimmage ties single game team record as the Panthers have turned it around 34 by beating Jaguars 34-27. Cam who?
Yeah.
This is Christian McCaffrey's team now. The Arizona Cardinals get their
No. Kyle Allen's team.
No, it's Christian McCaffrey's team, and he's the man, but Kyle Allen's playing, pulling the trigger. Arizona Cardinals get their first win, beating the Bengals 1-3-1. The Bengals
was this at Cincinnati?
You wouldn't know it because there was nobody in the stadium at Cincinnati. The Atlanta Falcons are a teetotal disaster. Deshaun Watson went bonkers.
Fuller, my God. Most fantasy points wide receiver since Terrell Owens in 2000.
Yeah, just insane. Teddy Bridgewater, what a great story for him to come back the way he has under these, and it's playing this way. His second win, second Saints QB since the merger with 300 plus yards and 4 touchdowns. So great performance as the Saints beat the Bucs.
Yeah, you know Drew Brees is happy right now. You just know.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook continues to roll 218 yards from scrimmage as the Vikings beat the Giants 28-10. Kirk Cousins actually threw the ball in this game.
Yeah, and Thielen finally got some touchdowns there, but not so much with Diggs.
Yeah. The Eagles sacked Jets quarterbacks 10 times as they beat the Jets 31-6.
Jeez.
If I'm Sam Darnold, that mono case is going to last a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's been cleared, though.
Yeah, he just got cleared. The Ravens beat the Steelers 26-23. We're going to talk about it in a little while, though. There was something very scary that happened in this football game, Kevin.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills winning with defense beat the Titans 14-17. I think you got to start thinking about the Bills being a serious contender in the playoff mix with that defense, Kevin.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick killed another coach's career. Patriots beat the Redskins 33-7, which led to some coaching changes, which we'll get into when we talk about the news. The Broncos finally manning up and doing both of us a favor, Kevin, by beating the Chargers 20-13.
Yes. Yeah. At Chargers too, right?
Yep. Well, does that really count?
No, not really.
The Packers 34-24 over the Cowboys. Aaron Jones had a game.
Four TDs, man. Four TDs.
Most by a Green Bay player since 1999. Monday night, the 49ers destroy the Cleveland Browns. I think we can safely say Cleveland Browns massively overhyped.
Overhyped, overrated. They are who we thought they were, right? Or at least some of us did.
I'm going to say this. You can bring in all the skill position players you want. If you can't protect the quarterback, it doesn't matter.
Yep, exactly.
The Lions, they were on bye. The Dolphins fell to 0-5, losing to the bye this week.
Yes. Didn't even cover.
Yep. So let's dive real quick into the power rankings, Kevin. It's according to CBS Sports.
I haven't looked at this yet. This will be interesting.
A little bit of shakeups here, as in our top 10, we now have the Patriots at number 1. The San Francisco 49ers, the only other undefeated team in the league, at 2. New Orleans Saints at 3, Seattle Seahawks at 4, Packers at 5, Kansas City at 6, Buffalo at 7, Bob, the Eagles at 8, the Cowboys at 9, the Rams at 10, Kevin's Oakland Raiders coming in at number 13 this week.
From 17 to 13, baby. Woohoo! Top 15, baby.
That just tells you about the parity in the league. But okay.
Come on!
But okay, no, I'm looking at these rankings. Would you have the Raiders? I guess they beat the Colts, but would you have the Raiders over the Colts and the Lions?
Yeah, they beat both the Colts and the Bears.
No, I said the Lions.
The Lions? Sure. Yeah. It's weird though. The Vikings at 18 and the Okay. I hate to. The glaring thing I see here is the Raiders above the Texans and the Jaguars right now.
Above the Texans, absolutely.
I'm sorry, the Texans at 3-2.
And the Vikings, because you guys got kind of manhandled by the Vikings.
Yeah, but I'll take it. But yes, Lions. Yes, Bears. Yes, Colts.
Well, explain to me how the Chargers are ranked above the Vikings and the Texans.
I can't. Do we need to go to another source for the rankings here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say this too. I had Kansas City falling to 4, and that's what I've seen in most of the other power rankings. Seattle wasn't even near the top 5.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting. But let's talk a little NFL news too, Kevin, because we have a coach down, and it's a Gruden. Jay Gruden, in one of the crappiest moves ever by a team, was told to be at the stadium at 5 a.m. for a meeting with the owner to get fired. That just isn't right, man.
Yeah.
The writing was on the wall on this, though, Kevin.
Yeah, but you know, Gruden's get up early, man. I know John Gruden is an early riser, man. Usually the first one there.
Yeah, but still, that wasn't right. But the writing was on the wall for this. The Redskins are a mess. Until Daniel Snyder is not their owner, they're going to be a mess.
Yeah, that's where the problem is, from what I've been hearing from around. Is the organization that's running it is the problem there? But I think Gruden will get a job.
I think he has an in somewhere, Kevin.
That's what people are wondering. Is his brother going to hire him for the Raiders? Well, you know, we don't have a vacancy right now, but I wouldn't be surprised. So we'll see.
Okay, so I have to ask you this, because the Redskins named their interim manager as one Bill Callahan, who my roommate, who is a Raiders, diehard Raiders fan, Kevin, has called the stupidest head coach in the history of the NFL, mainly because you did not change the playbook at all before the Super Bowl.
Yep. That's who they hired interim.
Yeah, he's the intern head coach for the rest of the season.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Raiders fans don't like Bill Callahan, do you?
Nope.
In the category of NFL players are either incredibly manly men or they're incredibly stupid, Bucks offensive lineman Alex Kappa broke his arm in the first quarter of the Saints game, didn't say anything to anybody, and played the entire game with a broken arm, Kevin. He's an offensive lineman. His arms are kind of important.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. That's huge, man. I mean, you know, that goes back a long way. People hiding injuries to play, you know, because
a broken arm. That's a tough one to hide.
Did he know that it was broken?
Yeah, he said he knew it was broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. But hey, more props to you. We had a trade, Kevin, and it involved your Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a little thin at wide receiver, so it looks like you might be recruiting some help, seeing if you can't maybe get somebody off the scrap heap that you can revitalize in the Raiders offense.
Why do you say it like that? Why do you say because, scrap heap? What?
Because he has basically become a scrap heap player when the Buffalo Bills, who are very, very thin at wide receiver, are trading a wide receiver.
Well, you know, they got John Brown and Cole Beasley, so it's not like...
But, I mean, this was a second-round pick for them just last year, and Zay Jones.
Well, you know, Raiders are can revitalize people. Yeah, we need the help.
Yeah.
So.
No, you guys are very thin at receiver, so I like the trade. I mean, I think Zay Jones has got some talent. Maybe it's just a change of scenery.
That always helps. I'm curious to... see what happens. So I'm curious if he's going to come in and play after the bye.
I would think so, because you guys are, I mean, I know Tyrell Williams, what I've heard is he's pretty banged up and he's had a hard time. He's doing the best
he can.
He'll
be fine when he gets back. He didn't play in the last game in London and we have the bye. But Carr, 9 or more receivers in that game, caught a ball. Yeah, that's right.
How many of them were over 2 yards?
It doesn't matter, man. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Finally, and I talked about this when we were going through the games, there was a very scary moment in the Pittsburgh Ravens game. I don't know.
Yeah, what happened here? I forgot.
I caught this on the red zone channel right as it happened. Mason Rudolph, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this wasn't intentional targeting. Earl Thomas was ejected for this game as a helmet-to-helmet hit. Mason Rudolph was tackled from behind, and the way he fell forward led into Earl Thomas coming into him, and he took a helmet square to the chin, and he was out cold immediately before he even hit the ground. He hit the ground, and his hand was stuck in the finger pointing up position, and he didn't move for anything for about 4 minutes.
There's a picture of them removing the face mask from him.
Yeah.
Finally, when he gets on his feet. Yeah, it looked like he was just knocked out cold, and they have like something on his finger too. It's just like, God.
Yeah, it was very scary. There were players on both sides crying because they were just that concerned for Mason Rudolph. Here's the even more messed up part. The stretcher trailer cart that they brought out died. They had to walk him off the field.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching that video right now of him limping off, man.
You look at his eyes, he has no idea where he's at.
Yeah, is he out for is he done, or is this just
he's out for at least a couple weeks.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I'm watching that right now, man.
Very scary situation, so.
Yeah.
A few other news notes going around. Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard's going to be out with a few weeks. He got another concussion himself. He had one in week one. So, and if the Giants have just flat out told him you're not playing for a few weeks, we're not even risking you. Chiefs defensive lineman, I talked about it earlier, Chris Jones, who's a Pro Bowl defensive lineman, was third in the NFL in sacks last year, is week to week with a groin injury. Titans have cut their kicker Cairo Santos after he went 0-for-4 last week.
Yeah, that's not good. Field goals.
The Patriots have released veteran tight end Ben Watson. A lot of people were kind of shocked by this, but it's the Patriots. We don't know what they're going to do. And Ravens Pro Bowl safety Tony Jefferson done for the season with a torn ACL, Kevin. So the NFL...
There was a lot of injuries this last week, man.
Last
crazy.
Couple of weeks, there's been a lot, yeah. So, let's take a look ahead to week 6 of the NFL season, Kevin. And it starts this Thursday with the New York Giants at New England. The only thing I'm thinking of is that somebody was taking a good joke that Bill Belichick is going to tell his players to knock Daniel Jones out of the game because he wants one more crack at Eli Manning.
Oh, man, there's so many injuries for the Giants right now. I'm not watching that game.
No,
I don't care about it.
Patriots are favored by 16.5 right now. So,
yeah.
In London, week 2 of games in London, Carolina and Tampa Bay. A game I don't think anybody's going to watch. Cincinnati at Baltimore.
No.
Seattle's going to destroy Cleveland.
They're going to Cleveland.
And they're still going to destroy Cleveland. But
are you worried at all about Houston going to Kansas City?
Oh, I'm not going to lie. This is a threatening game, especially with the way Deshaun Watson is playing football right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with us banged up as we are, that's a very dangerous game. Another game that I find quite interesting is San Francisco at the LA Rams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You missed
some games here. Are you reading them all off? Or
I was just Jacksonville at New Orleans. Yeah. Philadelphia at Minnesota.
No. New Orleans at Jacksonville.
You're totally right. New Orleans is just a different class than Jacksonville.
Why is Jacksonville favored by 1 at home then?
I have no. Only because Drew Brees isn't playing. I don't understand Vegas' thinking there. So, Washington at Miami. Does anybody care? Does a tree fall in the forest? Do we hear it?
You said Minnesota hosting Philly, right?
Yeah, that has the potential to be an interesting game.
Yeah.
San Francisco at Rams. That's going to be quite an interesting game.
Why are the Rams favored?
Because I think people still aren't sold on San Francisco yet.
Hmm.
Okay, Kevin. Does Atlanta fire their coach if they lose to the Arizona Cardinals?
Atlanta's favored by 2.5 at Arizona. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. They Atlanta usually likes to ride through the season before firing people.
Yeah, well, I know Arthur Blank's apparently getting very impatient. The remaining games on the schedule for The rest of that Sunday, Dallas at New York. Yeah, okay. Tennessee at Denver. Yeah, okay. Pittsburgh with their third string quarterback at the LA Chargers. Yeah, okay. Monday night's rather interesting, though, Kevin. Detroit at Green Bay. Detroit's playing some pretty solid football, and Green Bay's playing really good football. This could be an interesting matchup.
I'm not buying that. Sorry. I don't know. This just seems like another Green Bay's going to win at home game, you know?
Well, we shall see. But with that, we're going to take a quick break and come back with, of course, our patented, all-powerful fantasy football advice. And this week, after last week, Kevin might even have some fantasy football karma going his way. We'll get to that.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast, where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal Podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So I hope you're enjoying everything here at the Fandom Podcast Network as we keep trying to put out podcasts to feed your ears. But Kevin, it's been an interesting 2 weeks for you in the world of fantasy football.
You think?
And I'm going to give you a forum right now after our special guest last week, Miss Jennifer Walk, said some things about you in fantasy football. And then you had a week this week, my friend.
Yeah, I wish I could have scored these points against her this week or transferred some of those points over there. So, yes, I have six teams and I won all of my fantasy games. But we're going to talk about how a couple of those are very close because I have Deshaun Watson in a couple of these leagues and I started him. I have Aaron Jones in a league. I started him. I have McCaffrey in a league. Of course, I started him. I had a good week, but in our ESPN league, let's go to the regular.
We have two ESPN leagues. Is this the trophy league or this the regular league?
This is the regular league. Okay. I scored 346 points, where my opponent Jamie, who has his team, scored 246 points. It was crazy. Of course, I had Deshaun Watson, who scored 100 points with our scoring system. Aaron Jones, 72. Michael Thomas, 46. Chris Carson, 50. New England defense gave me 20, of course. It was just insane, dude. It was crazy on that one. I gotta talk about our trophy league, which you are undefeated in, right?
Correct. I am the last of the undefeateds in that league.
Last of the undefeated. Okay, so I want to look at this real quick here. Yeah, you. Okay, this is the Trophy League, right? Okay, I think I got to go. I'm in the wrong one here. That's why. So yeah, who did you play with? Oh, you played the Wuppertal Frogs, who took your quarterback first. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yes. Yep. You are 5-0. Okay, I am 4-1. Now I got to tell you, I had a close call in this one. I was up by, like, I want to say 50 or 60 points going into this game, going into Monday Night Football. And I'm thinking, okay, I think I got this. But my friend John, who is unfortunately 0-5 with his team, he had Matt Breida. And I had the San Francisco defense and Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould missed 3 field goals.
Yeah, he did not have a good night last night.
He did not.
About the only 49er who didn't.
What?
He was about the only 49er who had a bad night. Everybody else had a pretty good night.
Yes, but I did have, because I picked up the San Francisco defense in a few teams, knowing that people dropped him on the bye, because I had some feeling that their defense was going to be pretty competitive. If you looked at who they were playing, of course, they were still scoring some points. So I started the defense, and they were able to keep me in the game, which was great. And a similar thing happened in another league. I had San Francisco defense and was able to barely come out with a win. But I did win that game against my buddy John by, like, I think 6 points. And I was up by like 50 or something. So, yeah, it was a close one there. So, yeah. How'd you do in your teams?
I'm in 3 leagues. I went 2-1. I lost in your regular ESPN league, 1 in my CBS Sports League, and 1 of obviously in the Trophy League. But I have a very important lesson for all you fantasy football players out there. Check your waiver wire daily, because in my CBS Sports League, I was in a little bit of a pickle because Steven Gostkowski was the kicker I drafted. And of course, we talked last week, he's done for the year. So I'm scanning for kickers. I ended up picking up Josh Lambeau, the kicker for the Jaguars. I was like, okay, Jaguars kick a lot of field goals. Well, in my CBS Sports League, somebody tried to do something sneaky and sneak Justin Tucker through waivers.
Why? What do you mean?
He showed up on the waiver wire. I think that somebody was trying to make a move, and nobody caught it but me. Needless to say, Justin Tucker is...
Explain. I'm not getting what's going on here. Explain this to me. Dumb it down for me here.
Somebody had Justin Tucker on their roster.
Okay.
And I think they were trying to get a position player, but they didn't want to have anybody else they wanted to cut, so they figured nobody pays attention to kickers.
Okay.
So I'm going to cut my kicker for a day.
Is he one of the best kickers?
He's like the best kicker in the NFL.
So, well, then who was he playing on his team as a kicker?
I think he was trying to just squeak. Maybe he thought it was a bye week for Justin Tucker, or he was trying to get away with some kind of tricky roster move.
Did he have another kicker he was playing instead?
No, not he must have picked somebody up, but we're talking about the best.
So hold on. He had a kicker in his kicker spot.
Yeah, he ended up having to pick up somebody because I picked up Justin Tucker.
Okay. All right. Because you're not saying there's been some some team owners that'll play without a kicker to get rid of that kicker spot so they can get something else. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Anyway, to my benefit, I was able to pick up Justin Tucker, who outperformed his projected points total by almost 13 points this week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
So always watch your waiver wires. That's all I'm saying.
All
positions. So that leads us to, of course, our Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award of the Week. Kevin, would you like to go first? Because I know you just had players everywhere. You could.
Yeah, my Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award. I mean, yeah, I could say Deshaun Watson, but it's just too easy. I mean, he killed, and he had one of the highest fantasy things ever, you know, and I had him. I started him in 2 leagues. He's one of the reasons why I did well, and I won all of my games this week. But I'm going to do it to the players that helped me win 2 games, specifically more important in the ESPN Trophy League and also in my Silver and Black UK Fan Club, and I'm going to award my Jimmy GQ award to the San Francisco defense and a certain Mr. Bosa as well. They kept me in that game. They kept Cleveland to 3 points, sacks galore, picks. What's his name from Seattle? They picked up
Richard Sherman,
interception. I won two of my leagues because of the San Francisco defense scoring at least 20 or more points against it. If they would not have done that, I would have lost those two games. So they get the entire San Francisco defense gets my Man Crush Award.
There you go. Well, for me, it's easy. It's Packers running back Aaron Jones, who carried my team in CBS Sports, getting 4 touchdowns, having over 100 yards rushing, and a pretty good receiving number as well. Honorable mentions go into two players. It's the Houston combo of Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller. Fuller had, as Kevin said earlier, if you go by NFL scoring standards, the highest scoring fantasy football week since 2000 when Terrell Owens had an insane game. So, yeah. Kevin, I will say this, though. Nobody this week deserved to be kicked off of Fantasy Football Island.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to find a candidate, and I couldn't really find anything. I'll tell you what's getting me frustrated, though, is what 1 week it's Ronald Jones, one week it's Peyton Barber, and I'm really getting pissed off of that. I don't know. They can't pick a bell cow there, and it pisses me off.
I think it eventually will become Ronald Jones, but I think it's still a ways away. But let's talk about some free agents out there who might be able to help your team at least in a week or two.
Man.
Leading off, Kansas City Chiefs receiver Byron Pringle. But I'm going to say this. It seems like it's a different receiver for the Chiefs every week. I'm going off the website right now.
That's fluky. I am not picking him up. I don't know.
But one that does stand out to me, especially if you're looking for a tight end, is Gerald Everett of the LA Rams. He's put up some solid numbers the last few weeks.
Tight end, right?
Yeah, tight end.
Yeah, I tell you, though, the waiver wire seems very slim this week.
I'm going to say that. Another name to watch, Teddy Bridgewater. If you need a quarterback, he's putting up some solid numbers for the Saints. If you got an injury or a bye week and you're not real confident in your backup, he might be an option for you. Another name to watch is, you know what? Jacoby Brissett is not owned in a lot of leagues still, Kevin.
True. Also, what's his name? Auden Tate, wide receiver for Cincinnati with the injuries they have at wide receiver there.
Yep. Absolutely.
Do we want to take a chance if you need a quarterback, Sam Darnold? He's coming back from mono.
No. Another tight end option, though, is Jack Doyle of the Indianapolis Colts. He seems to be kind of become one of Jacoby's preferred targets there. But, yeah, it's a pretty thin week on the
waiver wire.
All of
these names, it just seem very, like, it's just they're so risky. I mean, you're talking about wide receivers for Miami that are on this list here. Yeah. Why? I don't even want to touch anyone in Miami. And McLaurin from Washington, Paul Richardson, maybe.
Yeah.
But Marcus Mariota is on this list too. Tony Pollard, backup running back for Dallas. He's getting a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew, still available in some leagues.
Mustache Minshew.
Yeah.
Kevin loves the mustache.
Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver for New York Jets.
The Jets offensive players, even Le'Veon Bell, I wouldn't touch.
Josh
right now.
Rosen has shown up on this list as well, QB for Miami.
It's Miami. So
did I miss something with DK Metcalf, wide receiver for Seattle? Is he really
DK Metcalf? Russell Wilson's been throwing at him a lot, but it seems like Will Disley and Tyler Lockett have been kind of getting the main targeting for the last few weeks. So. It's hard to say, but yeah, it's getting to that point. It's just getting lucky with some moves as far as the waiver wire goes in fantasy football. But
yeah.
Well, with that, Kevin, you have any last thoughts before we make our final drive?
I'm going to enjoy this Raiders win for another week into the bye week. This was such a good thing. Like I said, I'm not expecting maybe 8-8, you know, maybe 7-9, just something better than last year, more competitive. I'm I'm excited about the team. And like I said, that was a statement game. It was really, really, really important for so many reasons. And hopefully they won some fans over there that were Bears fans there in London, because there was more Bears fans that showed up, which our coach wasn't happy about. But I will say this, the venue, Tottenham Stadium, did a great job of actually making it look like a Raiders home game in both end zones. You had Oakland and Raiders. You had the banners going all the way around. And that stadium was built with the NFL in mind. They had the locker rooms done in the NFL style as well. So, you know, Raiders had to make some concessions to get a stadium here of their own. And this was one of them. I just hope the next time they go to London, they don't have to give up a home game for it. I want someone else to give it up.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully there'll be a rebound week for Kansas City. Let's get some players healthy. Right now, that's my bigger concern. Wins are nice, but I would much rather get some players back on the field and healthy. And I know we're a couple weeks away from some key additions. But like I said, hopefully Tyreek Hill will be on the field. But with that, I want to wish everybody good luck in their fantasy leagues this week. Good luck to your teams. And join us as we once again try to find a play, maybe two, that'll lead you into the end zone.